Well, a multi-billion dollar bonus for householders. That's what's on the cards with the fall in the carbon price that's predicted for 2015. So yesterday, the Labor government may have deferred those proposed tax cuts for 2015. These were the ones that were to compensate consumers for putting a price on carbon. But the former government climate advisor, Ross Garnaut, says even with the deferral, households will still be overcompensated to the tune of $2.25 billion, $2.25 billion. Why? Because the earlier tax cuts and the increased welfare payments remain locked in. And if the carbon price falls to $15 in 2015, as Treasury is likely to project in next week's budget, then consumers will benefit from lower prices as well. Compensation plus lower prices, especially for electricity and gas. Ross Garnaut is professorial fellow in economics at Melbourne University. He's speaking with our environment editor, Greg Borschmann.
Ross Garnaut, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Climate Change Minister Greg Combe said yesterday that the carbon package was always meant to be revenue neutral. But with projected revenues now collapsing, what do you think may be vulnerable to being cut or wound back in next week's budget?
Well, when you say expected revenues are collapsing, the total value of the permits that will be issued in 2015 if the carbon price in Europe is the $15 that seems to be what Treasury's re-estimation is, the loss of revenue would be around about $4.5 billion, but half of that is automatically recouped because the compensation in 2015 for coal-based generators and for trade-exposed industries is in the form of permits, free permits. And so if they're only worth half as much because the carbon price has fallen, then the value of the compensation falls automatically. So what's left is about a $2.25 billion net loss from keeping the tax cuts and the social security adjustments as they were made in 2012, and that will mean that the tax cuts and the social security adjustments cost about $2.25 billion more than the revenue will yield.
You gave the government advice putting together this compensation package. At the time, you argued very strongly against assistance to the coal-fired power generators. More than $1 billion in cash has already been allocated this financial year. It's been called windfall gains by some. Is that how you would describe it? Has that money been wasted?
Well, that's not a budget issue. That's paid for out of the broadly revenue neutral revenue from this year's fixed carbon price. So that's water under the bridge. I gave advice that that wasn't necessary, but it's not a budget problem. That's fully covered by this year's carbon pricing. And from now on, any compensation for generators and for trade exposed industries is in the form of permits, which fall in value if the carbon price falls.
That's true, but over the next 4 years, free permits initially budgeted to cost more than $5 billion will be given to the generators. Should we now be looking at winding those back?
I don't think that's quite the arithmetic. I think it's a bit less than that, but the value will automatically come down with the carbon price. Look, I put one view, one set of advice to the government. Other people took other views. The government made its decision. I see that as water under the bridge, as is the tax cuts, which will give people more in their pockets than they'll actually have to pay for carbon pricing if the carbon price comes down as projected in 2015.
Yes, but I guess the point is that the collapse of the carbon price in Europe, currently hovering around $4 a tonne Australian, has been linked to a glut of free permits being issued to industry. Is Australia now in danger of doing exactly the same thing?
No, that's not the same issue. In Europe, there's a question of whether they miscalculated the total amount of emissions at the time permits were issued. We didn't. Our database was much stronger. So I don't think there's an issue here of too many permits being issued. The question is, should more of them have been paid for by industry? That's quite a separate issue. It doesn't raise a budget issue now. My own view is that at the time, different decisions could have been made, but that's happened. And I don't think that's an issue for the scheme going forward.
Opposition leader Tony Abbott was once again critical yesterday about Australia outsourcing its carbon policy to Europe, that we've dug our own hole by linking with the European scheme. You support global emissions trading, linked global emissions trading, but in the current environment, is Tony Abbott right?
I do support international trade in permits. I think it's especially important for Australia, Greg. Naturally, we will tend towards relatively high emissions. We've got that type of economy. We've got industries that fit naturally in Australia that happen to have high emissions. In a world of effective action against climate change, everyone will be paying for their carbon, and we'll still have a comparative advantage in a lot of industries with high emissions. If we can have higher emissions and offset those by buying some permits abroad, that will reduce the costs of meeting the necessary global reductions in emissions, reduce the cost for Australia and for the rest of the world, and therefore make it more likely that we'll meet strong global targets. I'd be careful about picking it apart piecemeal. Overall, it's a very good package for Australia doing its fair share in the global emissions reduction effort.
In that Clean Energy Future package, $10 billion is earmarked for the Clean Energy Finance Corporation. Tony Abbott wants to axe it, but that money is not dependent on carbon tax revenues. It's relatively safe from being axed, isn't it? At least by Labor.
I haven't seen any discussion of the possibility of it being axed. The Clean Energy Finance Corporation is set up under Australian law as a statutory corporation. It's got a very good professional staff, properly insulated from the political process. From what I've heard, they're going about their job very professionally. They've set an objective of recouping the money they put out with a return that covers the government's borrowing costs. So the funding of the CEFC is not a budget issue.
And that's Ross Garnaut, the Professorial Fellow in Economics at Melbourne University, speaking with our environment editor, Greg Borschmann.